Tenemos las mejores armas, inteligencia, creatividad, alegría, imaginación, valor, unidad. Nos tenemos a nosotros mismos, ya nadie estará solo. La juventud ha despertado, la juventud ha despertado y sacude a los que todavía siguen dormidos.
Today, July 1st, is the date of the presidential election in Mexico, an election that has become, in many ways, a referendum on current president Felipe Calderón's drug war, which has claimed at least 60,000 lives since he was fraudulently elected in 2006. Unlike the 2006 election, at the height of La Otra Campaña, this campaign has seen little direct participation by the Zapatistas, but that doesn't mean there's been nothing otra about it. The Yo Soy 132 movement, which some folks are calling the Mexican Spring, interrupted the otherwise vacuous electoral campaign on May 11th, when students at the conservative Catholic University Iberoamericana asked a particularly pointed question to Enrique Peña Nieto, the PRI candidate for president, during a presentation of his political platform. The question was about the intense state violence which took place at Atenco almost exactly 6 years before, in May 2006, when Peña Nieto, then governor of the Estado de Mexico, sent in heavily militarized state and federal police to assault a community associated with the Zapatistas' other campaign, which was known for a successful autonomous resistance to state-led neoliberal projects like Vicente Fox's proposal to build a new international airport on Atenco's community lands. The police killed two young men, indiscriminately beat and arrested hundreds, and purposely raped and sexually assaulted more than 40 of the women who had been arbitrarily arrested. In response to the question, Peña Nieto stood firm, declaring that he had sent in the notoriously violent police in order to reestablish the so-called rule of law, and that his actions had been found justified by the Supreme Court of Mexico. Outraged, hundreds of chanting students chased Peña Nieto and his entourage off campus. The next day, Peña Nieto apologist appeared on the major Mexican television stations, Televisa and TV Azteca, accusing the protesters of being political agents hired to heckle and interrupt the candidate's speech. In response, 131 students from the Ibero who had participated in the protest made a YouTube video showing their university ID cards to prove the accusations false. The video went viral. The following week, students marched on the headquarters of television stations throughout the city to demonstrate their rejection of the media monopoly and the institutionalized bias it reflects. Since then, a number of anti-Peña Nieto marches have brought tens of thousands of protesters into the streets and created the most exciting movement to hit Mexico since Javier Sicilia's campaign against the narco war last year. What started with private university students protesting on their campus has become a broad, but still youth-dominated movement focused on two key issues: the media monopoly and the political system. Of course, the two are intimately connected. In Mexico, two gigantic media corporations, Televisa and TV Azteca, control 90% of the country's programming. Historically, both stations have tended to favor the candidates of the status quo, while emphasizing all but the most sensationalist drivel. But the media's role has been not only that of an echo chamber for elite opinion, it has also intervened actively in the political arena. This was not only the case with the new communications law that passed in 2006, which privileged the already established media interests, but also with regard to their coverage of social movements. In the context of the Atenco raid, for example, newscasters did more than just, quote, report. They actively called for the state to send in police to repress protesters with violence. As if this weren't enough, these media giants have been heavily involved in political campaigns. The Guardian recently reported that Mexico's biggest television network sold prominent politicians favorable coverage in its flagship news and entertainment shows and used the same programs to smear a popular left-wing leader. It also detailed how Peña Nieto specifically had been paying for favorable TV coverage as far back as 2009. The coverage of the event at the Ibero that launched the Yo Soy 132 movement, reporting blatantly false information and colluding with corrupt politicians, exemplifies the critique of the Mexican media's role in reproducing elite interests. As a result, one of the primary focuses of the movement has been, as stated in its list of demands, the democratization of the media in order to guarantee transparent, plural, and impartial information that foments critical consciousness and thought. It goes on to call for real competition in the media market and the creation of legal mechanisms to guarantee media ethics. But the declaration makes no mention of already existing alternative media platforms or collectives, nor does it call for autonomous control over the media. The movement frames itself as one of information consumers, not information producers. The second key issue we want to highlight is the movement's ambiguous relation with the political system. Although it has declared itself to be nonpartisan, in the sense that it's not affiliated with a particular political party, the movement is not against voting or the political system per se. The movement's first communique states that, quote, "We promote informed and reflective voting. We believe that, in the current political circumstances, abstention or filling out a blank ballot are ineffective actions for advancing the construction of our democracy. Furthermore, the fact that the movement has taken the principal form of specifically anti-Peña Nieto marches suggests that, if it weren't already being pushed by PRD supporters, it could easily end up being co-opted by the López Obrador campaign and recuperated back into the political system. In some ways, this political climate replays the tensions that emerged around voting in the context of La Otra Campaña back in 2006. Some critics still blame the Zapatistas for López Obrador's loss. Although this claim strikes us as dangerously wrong, especially given the electoral fraud that allowed Calderón to win, Yo Soy 132 could be seen from this perspective as trying to learn from the Zapatistas' quote, mistake. While the movement is not as radical as we might like, it's still an inspiring moment. The Occupy movement opened up spaces for anti-capitalist and anti-authoritarian action, even though it was often dominated by more liberal voices. We follow many of our comrades in Mexico who see Yo Soy 132 as exciting precisely because of the possibilities it opens up for more radical political action. Gustavo Esteva recently wrote in La Jornada that the movement should focus on building not for the day of the election, but for the day after the election. Not for today, but for tomorrow. Regardless of who is declared the winner, the biggest dangers for the movement following the election are paralysis and demobilization. The power of the youth in the streets is immense, and we can only wait to see what will happen. So we'll close by reading a piece from the movement's second communique, which echoes the Zapatistas' first declaration de La Selva Lacandona, which opens by asserting that we are the product of 500 years of struggle. We are the children of the massacres and repression of students, of dirty war, of rampant impunity, of economic crises, of ideological and material domination, of one way of thinking and one way of living, of senseless violence, of the abandoned countryside, and of undignified working conditions, of deep corruption. We are the children of a new Mexico that yells, ya basta, never again. Y a su chante no le invita el fiel. Yo sin Mercedes y sin gaviota. En las encuestas nadie me vota. Yo sin mi Twitter, sin mi smartphone. Soy un pobre indio, un proletón. ¿Ya oíste lo que dijeron de mi papi?